Excellent. We are recording. This is Jen, and I am with the October 2015 cohort. This is the mind-body class, and this is section one. And today is Monday, December 14th, and we're getting started a few minutes late. It's actually 10:05 instead of 10 o'clock. So thank you for hanging in there with me, you guys. Super, super excited to be here with you. Let me just tell you, I was so surprised. Only a couple people posted in the thread on the forum, and I do know it's a lot of recording. So please let me just tell you right now, if you're feeling overwhelmed, take a big deep breath and let yourself go as slow and deliberate and present as you need to. It's a lot. And it seems really simple, but it can also feel overwhelming. So just be where you're at and then sit back and relax and take in what comes through today. We'll have time for Q&A. We will, you know, if somebody has something they want to be coached on, we'll use the mind-body tools to do that. I'm also going to start out with, I like to give you guys an experience. So, and you'll hear me say, I get sick of hearing myself talk, and the next thing you know, it's going to be 30 minutes in, and I'm still going to be talking. But I want to give you an experience, so I want to guide you through coming back into your body, taking a breath, being present, and the magic that, you know, our gut and our body does to guide us day in and day out. I also am going to, once we do Q&A and some coaching, I'm going to leave a good 15 minutes at the end for the homework assignment and any questions you have around that. Because what ends up happening is I go over time, and then I have like 2 seconds to give you your homework, and then we have all these questions afterwards. So I want to give you time around that so you can ask your questions and really be comfortable with practicing, because you're going to have a whole month to practice the mind-body connection. And that's so exciting. And what I love about teaching this class is I'm going to be going back to the basics and doing it right along with you, because it always brings me back and I always get to learn something new. So I'm going to be, you know, walking side by side with you guys doing this homework. So use this forum and this thread to ask any questions along the way throughout the month, and then we're going to have a whole separate thread for homework. So enough talking. Let's go ahead and kind of sink in to where we're at, and I'm just going to take you through a grounding today. Just allowing yourself to be with you. If you want to, you can close your eyes. Whatever feels most comfortable, stare off into space, find a spot on the wall or in nature. And when you're being with yourself, you're just noticing the natural rise and fall of your chest. Maybe noticing the beating of your heart. The temperature against your skin, maybe the way your clothes feel against your skin. You're just being with yourself. In our busy world, we don't often take time just to sit. I call it sitting with myself. Maybe tune in to what you're feeling in your body right now, noticing any sensations. Noticing those areas that feel tight or knotted or tense. And not having to change it, just noticing. And then maybe noticing the areas that feel relaxed, that feel open and light. And lastly, just noticing any of the areas that feel numb. Maybe you don't feel like you can feel anything in those areas. And as you're sitting here with yourself, noticing what's happening in your body, notice what your mind is doing. Is it thinking about what's on your list for today or the conversation you had with a partner this morning? Something that happened with the kids? It might be fully present, fully here, fully tuned in. It's okay. It's natural for our mind to wander. Just notice what your mind is doing right now. What would you label it as? Is it worrying? Is it running on the hamster wheel? Is it focused? And then the last thing I want to do is let's just call back in your energy. We have so much going on, like I was just mentioning, throughout our days. We have so many people that we come in contact, whether virtually or in person. We have our lists, our to-dos. We have the daily activities of life going on. So when we're doing all that, our energy is getting scattered, bits and pieces here and there and everywhere, right? So go ahead and imagine that there's a magnet in your hands. It's this beautiful magnet. Mine happens to be gold. And I'm just going to allow it to settle in the center of my being. And the center of your being, allow it to find that. It might be in the middle of your head. It might be in your heart. It might be in your solar plexus. It might be in, you know, your pelvic area. It knows where its home is. You don't have to do any of the work. So let that magnet find the center of your being. And just ask it now to call back any of your energy, all those scattered bits and pieces that have been with other people, other situations, your daily tasks, all that you're involved in. Just ask it to return. Taking two nice deep breaths as you feel that energy return back into your physical body and your energy space around you. Now just noticing how you're feeling in your body compared to how you first felt when we sat down and sat with ourselves. You may feel nothing. You may feel completely different. Whatever you're feeling is perfect. It's what you're feeling. And then I'm not taking you through a total grounding and connecting to source energy right now, but just imagine your feet sinking nicely into the earth, allowing that earth energy to run up into you. Just imagine with your intention connecting with source energy and letting that flow down through the top of your head. Now you have your energy that you've called back. You have the nourishing energy of Mother Earth flowing up into you, and you have source energy that is healing and guiding, flowing down through you. Welcome to mind-body relationship. What I wanted to share with you is one of the recordings was really short. It was where I had you feel the center of your hands. And one other way to come back into your body is to even just feel your heartbeat And we did a little bit of that when I took you through this guided exercise. But another way is in Martha's book, I happen to have the hardbound book of Find Your Way in a Wild New World. And on pages, where does it start? Page 10, she has a few different exercises, how to drop into wordlessness and get into those paths of stillness. Feeling your heartbeat is one of them. She, again, guides you through a different way of doing it. And then there was the way I took you through. But there's several different exercises, and there is the same thing in your manual as well. So you're going to have that on part of your homework, is to do a path of stillness every day. So have fun with it. You know, if you want to play with the same one the whole time, do that. If you want to play with different ones, do that too. Again, make this fun. Make it curious. Like, just be so wildly like, I wonder what's going to happen when I try this one. You know, get into that headspace of play and curiosity as you work with this. Let's see. What else? Let's just go ahead too and set an intention really quick. My intention for being here with you guys today is to create this really safe and open space for you to ask any questions that you have, and to experience the mind-body connection, which we did a little bit of, to, you know, share and experience throughout. And so just take a moment to think about what your intention is for our time together. And we'll see if we can remember to revisit that at the end. And then the other thing you'll want to do is notice how you want to feel at the end of the class today. See if you can tap into a feeling state of how you'd like to walk away once, you know, an hour and 15 minutes from now. You know, when I walk away from class today, this is how I want to feel. So set that intention as well. And then I just want to, I kind of jumped right into stuff and I didn't really share anything about me or my mind-body relationship learning path. And so I want to share with you, I went through Martha Beck training back in 2008. Absolutely loved it. About the only mind-body stuff we did was the body compass. And yet Martha was very in tune with the mind-body connection. What I focused on more was the thought work. That was magical to me at the time. And the body compass was cool, but it was very uncomfortable for me. It was something I wasn't used to. I wasn't used to being in my body. I remember I couldn't feel anything from, you know, the bottom of my rib cage to my pelvic area. Like, my mid-center was numb all the time. I felt like I couldn't feel anything. It took a long time to really get into my body. And I remember during the body compass portion of our training, you know, you're supposed to go out and practice with people, right? And so I picked some of those people to practice with, and they were floored. They were just like, this is amazing. Like, you need to teach everybody the body compass. You need to teach everyone. This is so crazy. And granted, we're not doing the body compass, but we're connecting with our body, which is guiding us at all times, right? And so we're connecting in this class to even our emotions and noticing how it's all connected. So that got me really excited when I went out and practiced with people, because they were so excited about it. But I still hadn't really, I mean, most of my coaching was still around thought work, and it was hard for me to still get into sinking into my body. I mean, it had been, you know, 38, 40 years of living a certain way, living in my head. And so getting into my body was really new to me. And so then I went into Master Coach training, and I remember a class, I tell this story all the time, I remember one of our classes, Martha was going around with each of us and saying, okay, tell me how you feel. And I was like the third or fourth person that she had asked, and I told her what I thought. So I don't know if you guys have experienced this already in your coach-to-coach training or when you get into thought work, it may come up. I'm just raising my hand, kindred spirit here. Like, it is a learning process, you guys. Martha calls on me, and I tell her what I think I'm feeling, right? Keyword, what I think I'm feeling, so I'm totally in my head. And she just was like, you guys, what are you doing? I don't want to know what you're thinking. I want to know what you're feeling. So I just share that with you to say it's a process, right? She wasn't yelling at me, even though I felt like she was yelling at me. She was just helping us come back to our body, which is so foreign in a world and a busy society that we have today where we're going and we're thinking and we're doing and we're in what's next, what's next, what's next. So just know that it's a process. And it's, you know, I had 2 years in between my coach training and my master coach training. And then I fell in love so much with it during master coach training that I went on to take Abigail Steigley's mind body coach training, which really sunk me into it. And that's where I fell deeply in love with the mind body connection. And again, we teach what we need most, right? So here I am teaching because I need that constant reminder. And when I work with others, it inspires and fuels me. So that's a little bit about my journey on learning the mind-body connection. So let's look at, I'm going to actually, before I do that, let me just ask, are there any questions before I go into some Q&A and take away some of my, or give you some of my takeaways when I first started to learn so you can kind of notice some of your takeaways along our time today. If you have a question before we jump into that, go ahead and hit 5-star. Okay. I love it. You guys are all in receive mode. That's perfect. All right. So let me share first my 9, 8, 9 takeaways when I first learned and listened to Abigail sharing the mind-body class with one of the cohorts way early on before I started teaching. She had a beautiful recording, just like the ones we have for you guys. And if you haven't listened to all of them, just listen when you get a chance, okay? They're juicy, they're fun. We have a good time. You'll probably be able to feel every emotion as you listen to them. So, but my takeaways from that were when we connect with our body, we receive information from our inner wisdom. And again, these can seem really simple, but I'm just sharing them with you so you can kind of tap into what your takeaways are and those little bits that, you know, raise your marmoset where you're like, what? I want to know more about that. Like, what? That really resonates. Whatever it is that makes you kind of do your what? So when we connect with our body, we receive information from our inner wisdom. Being connected to our body removes effort because everything we need comes from our inner wisdom. Talk about surrender, right? Oh my gosh, you guys, if we could just surrender, which is against everything we've been taught, right? We're trying to figure it out. We're trying to make it work. We're trying to make it happen. But if we would literally stay connected with our body, it removes all effort. Because everything that we need comes through us, through our inner wisdom. That was big. Be willing to feel discomfort was another one. Being willing to feel discomfort. Oh, you know, we're thinking we need to be happy all the time, or I don't want to feel that. And if I feel that, then I'm not being spiritual or I'm not doing my work. And that's so contrary to, the truth. Because being willing to feel our discomfort is where we get the messages and the guidance. Number 4 was climbing back. When we climb back into our body, we just notice, there's no need to try. Again, surrendering, right? Just like I said, was when we were sitting with ourselves at the beginning. There's nothing you need to do. Notice where you feel tension. You don't need to change it. There's nothing you need to try and change. It's just about being in your body and noticing. 5, this all takes practice. We can know something, but it's through the practice we gain experience. And that's when we get clear and we ask more questions and we gain the confidence. I mean, that goes for everything. That goes for all your classes, right, in LCT. It's like we can know all these things, but until we put it into practice, that's when we have our own experience with it. We get the clarity. We ask questions, and we gain the confidence. It takes practice to allow feelings to flow. Whew, that's a big one, and that's still a day in and day out one. It takes practice to allow feelings to flow. When I'm feeling mad, when I'm feeling irritated, when I'm feeling sad, you know, am I willing to allow that to flow through me? There's many times I still resist it, and I don't even realize I'm doing it until I sit down with myself. 7 was it's useful to know that emotions aren't bad or negative. I constantly refer to them as comfortable or uncomfortable or pleasant or unpleasant. And sometimes I still catch myself saying, you know, oh, I don't want to feel this way. It's bad, you know. I don't want to feel this negative emotion, but I always catch myself and I'm like, ooh, I don't want to feel this uncomfortable emotion. I don't want to feel this unpleasant emotion. And that emotions are just here to give us information, which we'll play with today. I hope somebody has something that we can coach them on, because we'll see what information is available for them. 8 is when clients, so this is pertains to you as a coach, when clients are in fight or flight, use one of the Martha Beck tools. Otherwise, they won't even be able to hear you. And you guys, that can be as simple as taking a breath. You notice they're getting wrapped up in your story. You notice you're getting wrapped up in their story. They're in that fight or flight. Maybe it causes you to start to get into that, like, oh, my gosh, I don't know where to go from here. I don't know what's happening. Blah, 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 blah. You know, you start doing a little bit of that. You just come back to breath. Like, wow, that's a lot of information. Let's go ahead and just sit with ourselves for a moment. And you can literally have them do a breath. You can have them do what I did with you. Let's just sit and just notice what you're feeling in your body, where you're feeling it. Again, not needing to try and change anything, right? Just coming back into your body. That helps you come back to the present moment. And if you need to do that, you can do that too. Which leads me to the last one, which was practice staying grounded with your clients. Practice staying grounded with your clients. And so what I just said to 8 totally pertains to 9. You get to do the same thing as well. You even say, wow, you know, that's a lot of information. Let's take a minute just to settle into our breath and see which one feels juiciest to start with. Which way we want to go. You know, you can do that, or you can do something like we'll do today where it's like, ooh, what are you feeling? Where are you feeling it in your body? That sort of thing, and talk to them and see if they can name the emotion and go from there, because then that helps them get out of the story and they start getting other information that's from their inner wisdom. So, fun, fun, fun. So those are my takeaways. Does anyone have anything they want to share? Do they have a takeaway that popped up for them that you want to share from listening to the recordings before we move on? 5-star. I'm going to take a drink of water. Okay. Yay, I was moving on to you next anyway, Heather, so that's perfect.
Oh, hey there.
Hi.
I kind of shared this a little bit already in what I wrote, but I really found it was a dramatic moment for me when somewhere on the recording someone said that it should only take about 90 seconds. And that changed everything for me, because it suddenly was doable to be able to sit with the anger or sit with the sadness or whatever it was, because it is scary. Sometimes you think, oh, like this feeling is so strong, it's surely gonna, you know,
engulf
blow me to pieces, right?
Right.
Yeah, engulf me. But to know that, like 90 seconds, if you can just get, like, it's so much shorter. So I started practicing that with knowing that this is, you know, I'm just going to feel it. I'm going to let it take. And I would literally let it kind of consume my body. I would usually sit on my bed. And it would never feel as strong as I would imagine. It was like my mind was creating more than was actually there. Although, you know, I was obviously still feeling things. But it was almost like this blob was moving through my body and then would leave. And that's why I kept thinking of the Rumi poem, because then it was like I was free. Something else could come. And it wasn't always, and it's not always pleasant. You know, there might be tears. There might be angry. I might need to punch my pillow. But it just blows my mind that it can be so quick, that it doesn't have to be this long, torturous process, that I think that makes it feel like, like I said, just more doable. It's not as daunting when you know it actually moves quickly. When you say, okay, hello, fear. Hi. Yep. I'm with you. You know, move through me. What do I need to feel? And then it just goes away.
Yeah. So beautiful. Thank you. You know, that came from one of the most popular places it came from was Jill Bolte Taylor's book, A Stroke of Insight. And she was a neuro something. I'm sure someone can. I always say Google and like Google Jill Bolte Taylor and what she is. But she actually had a stroke and witnessed it, being in the medical profession. And anyway, in her book, she shares that it only takes 90 seconds for that emotion to move through you. Now, if you have pent-up stuff inside you, you know we've all been there, right, where we could spend, you know, an hour crying, you know, on the couch sometimes. And that's okay, too. It's just old, maybe pent-up, you know, emotion that's in there. But for the most part, when we allow it, Heather, like you said, it's crazy. It moves right through you. And what you think that maybe is going to be an hour on the couch ends up being minutes, and you're like, oh my goodness. In fact, one of my favorite videos is Louis C.K. I don't know if any of you have seen the Louis C.K., and he's a comedian. So funny. O'Brien sharing why he didn't want his daughters to have cell phones. But in the midst, he says it's because, you know, we're constantly on them. And so when we're having those moments where we're feeling lonely or we're feeling lost or we're feeling sad, what do? We pick up the phone and we reach out to someone or we text someone, or instead of allowing ourselves to feel the sadness and let it move through us. And so he shares an experience of where he was driving on the freeway and he's feeling sad, and it's just like, oh, he was just overcome with the sadness. Of course, he reaches out to all these people, and then he makes some of this funny stuff in there. And then he pulls over to the side of the road and decides just to feel this feeling. And he said he was just crying like a baby for like a couple minutes. And he said what met me on the other side was the most beautiful peace. Like, I just allowed myself to feel it, but we don't ever give ourselves the chances to do that. And so I think the other thing, Heather, do you have anything you want to share? And I'll make a note. Let me make a note right now I'll share that Louis C.K. when I post the follow-up after this, because one, I love to laugh, and two, I love anything that, you know, makes it light about how we can tap into feeling our feelings. But Heather, anything you want to share on how, and I'll share a little bit too, on how you allow yourself to feel those feelings?
How I allow myself to feel them. Well, you know what? It's usually, the motivation was I was fighting with my husband a lot. And I started to notice that I was talking in circles and I didn't even know. And I would say to him, I don't even know why I want to fight with you right now. So my motivation was to feel love again with my husband. And how I would allow myself to feel it is I would take a time out. I would say, okay, I'm going to the bedroom and I'm going to see if I can work this out with myself. I'll be back in 5 minutes. You're on the kids. And so I would go to my room and I would just sit there and close my eyes. And then I would ask myself 3 questions. And all of this came from one of the recordings. I just don't remember which one, and I might have the wording different, but I actually wrote on a chalkboard in my bedroom. One was something like, first, notice the feeling. So if I could name it, you know, is it sadness? Is it anger? Is it whatever, jealousy? And then second, feel it in your body and notice where in your body you might be feeling it. And then let it run. Let it, like, just let it be. Sit there and let it be. And I would come down and hug my husband and say, I'm sorry, I actually just learned that I miss you. I don't want to fight with you. I actually miss you, and I want to spend more time with you. And then we could have a conversation. Because before, I didn't know what was wrong. He didn't know what was wrong. And he's trying to, you know, please me, and we're running in circles fighting. And really, I missed him. And I didn't know that until I let myself feel that sadness of, you know, having kids and missing my husband.
Yeah.
So it's,
that is
so
beautiful.
Yeah, so I sort of would catch myself suffering in whatever way, whether it was, you know, a silly, petty argument or whatever, and then say, okay, I need 5 minutes. And literally I would only take, you know, 5 or 10 minutes or whatever, but it would be a quick zip to my bedroom, look at my questions, lie on my bed, let it move through my body, and then re-enter life and feel so much freedom.
Thank you. Thank you. I think
It came from the row things. So
it's so fun too to hear people's experiences and what they're doing to tune in. And I love that you have that visual that's written right there, because so many times what happens is we want to feel our feelings too, but we're like, I know it sounds easy, but like, what do I do?
Mm-hmm.
And so you have that reminder right there on the chalkboard, you know,
yeah.
You know where you're excusing yourself to. So that's great. I'm going to leave you on the line because I want to answer your question as well. But I do want to share the other thing with feeling your feelings. It changed the relationship between my son and I when I started doing this, because he and I would, you know, we both are, the hair on our neck would raise, and we knew how to trigger each other. And yet, you know, his hugs are the place that I would go to in my mind to go to that place of peace and compassion. So as you go through the classes, in your LCT, and they ask you to like go to that place of compassion, you can recall those times that just like totally melt you and bring you back to that place of pure love and compassion. So my son had that ability, which I'm sure we all can relate to, right? And he also has the ability to make me mad in zero to, you know, in a matter of seconds. And so what we started doing is the same thing. Like, okay, I would meet him with, it's not okay to talk to me that way. You seem angry. Why don't you go to your room, feel your feelings, and teaching him the same kind of thing. You know, go ahead and just go. And every time I was able to meet him without the fire and the feelings, he would always come back within 5 or 10 minutes and say, oh my gosh, Mom, I'm so sorry. I completely overreacted. And this would usually happen after school, which he always struggles with school. He's wildly smart, but school is not his thing. And so, you know, for him, what it made me think of, Heather, is that he was realizing, I'm just tired. Like, it took everything I had to get through my day, Mom. I just can't talk anymore, you know? And so that's probably one of the triggers, I'm guessing, for him, instead of being able just to say, I'm tired and I don't want to talk. You know, he was able to do that. But sometimes, you know, again, I wasn't able to be calm in that situation, so I do the same thing. I'm like, I am so pissed right now, you know? And so we've really gotten to this good place where we can say how we feel. I'm so pissed right now, I need to go feel my feelings. And so I go into the room, and I do, like you mentioned, Heather, sometimes I'd have to hit the pillow, or I would physically need to, like, you know, release that, like, so frustrated. And so I'd use a pillow just to muffle it a little bit. It certainly didn't have to, because we all have the freedom in our house to feel what we're feeling and to do no harm, right? And so same thing. I could always get to when I dropped the story, and this is why I was asking you how you were able to tap in and feel, and I love your questions because it really does guide you through it, where we get kind of mixed up with it a little bit. When we have a challenge to be able to feel our feelings, sometimes it's because we're still playing the story in our head of what happened. And as long as we're doing that, we're going to stay in that spin cycle and be pissed or sad or whatever. It really is about dropping the story from your mind and your thoughts and noticing, oh my gosh, what am I feeling? See if you can name the emotion. Where do I feel it in my body? Like exactly like you're doing, Heather. And then letting those sensations run through. You're not thinking about why you're mad at him. You're not even thinking about who you're mad at. You're just simply being with the feeling. If you can't name it, that's fine. You can just name what the sensations are. I'm feeling tight in my hands. My heart is beating. I'm being here. And like you were saying, sometimes it feels so big. But what has ended up happening for me more times, in fact, I just did this the other day. I was just feeling so anxious. And I thought, oh my gosh, if I feel this, it's just going to take over my day. And I knew better, though, because I have the evidence that it doesn't. And so I'm like, all right, mind, I'm going to let you stop worrying and creating your crazy stories, and I'm going to feel this. And I sat down with it, and it got so big in my chest, and I felt it just keep expanding, expanding, expanding. And the next thing I knew, it turned into a blanket of love. And I felt so held, and I felt so loved, and I was like, whoa, not expecting that at all. But I got to experience that, and I came back to that place of really feeling a lot of love and feeling held by, you know, like the energy of the universe. It was like, oh, I can stop trying, you know, I don't need to feel this way. So I just wanted to share that too, because sometimes that is what trips us up in feeling your feelings, as we're still stuck in the story. But if you can really go and focus on what's happening in your body, you get that big release. And it is, it's crazy, isn't it, Heather? It is like 90 seconds.
Yeah, yeah, like, it is. Sorry, I'm thinking about the blanket of love. That sounded lovely.
It was, and it's what keeps me coming back. It's those moments that I take the time, right, to feel my feelings that keeps me coming back to continually feeling my feelings.
Yeah.
So that's great.
Yeah.
All right, so your question was, I'm wondering if you can use most of these tools on yourself or if someone – or if some are better to work through with a coach. And I loved it. You said, for example, the one where Chris Marie became the emotion and Abigail asked her questions. So that's a great question. I think the thing is again, when you connect with your body and like surrender, you're going to get all the information you know. It's like, okay, I have gone to coaches plenty of times to be coached on this stuff because I'm like, I'm too stuck in my stuff. I'm too stuck in my story right now. It's too big for me. I could do it, but I feel like I'll get more out of it if I surrender and let someone guide me through it. I'm letting go a little bit more.
Yeah.
So that's been my experience. And you can do it. You can do all of them on your own. And again, I think it's kind of like anything with practice, right? The more you're using it, the more easily and readily you create your relationship and connection with the divine and that inner wisdom, that it just starts coming to you, you know, a lot more effortlessly because you're tuned in and you know how to tune in to your body and get out of your head.
Yeah, and I guess I was noticing during that one that that Abigail was, well, I guess they switched, but they were asking very specific questions. And I was and I didn't try it afterwards, even though I wanted to, because I thought, oh my gosh, I can't remember the questions. I just know that she became this emotion, and then when they switched, Abigail became her hip, or I can't remember the specifics, but they went through this series of questions, and I imagined that if I were getting into a part of my body, popping in and out to like check my sheet to see which question it was or whatever, seemed tricky. But I guess it's not a formula either. You don't always probably need to follow exactly the way it's done. It just seemed they were pretty sort of methodical about it. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. And I think this, again, you know, just because that's what Abigail eats, lives, and breathes, you know? It's like she does that kind of work all the time. And it's funny that you even say that, because I will share, I have in the inside of one of my old journals the questions that I would ask to my body parts or to my emotions. And so there's nothing wrong with coming up with, again, there's no, you know, there's probably better questions to ask. You know, some of them can keep you in a loop. But to go back and listen to that recording and write down some of those questions that appealed to you, or you were like, ooh, yeah, that feels like I'm going to get somewhere. The one that I use all the time is, how are you here to help me?
Oh, that's because a good one.
And from there, I kind of let it just take its, you know, its form or shape, because, again, those aches and pains or those emotions are there to be messengers. So they're there to help us. And sometimes we think they're a pain in the ass, right? And so it's like, ah, go away. And I, you know, but that's us not wanting them there. They're there because they're trying to share something with us. So I always start with that. How are you here to help me? And then from there, it's like, what's one thing I can do? You know, where can I start? Is there anything else you want to share with me? You know,
right.
And whatever's happening.
Yeah. Yeah, it's pretty cool, because obviously if there's an emotion or a physical problem or whatever, it's definitely there to teach you something, and it's cool to have tools to be able to access that wisdom.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly, yeah.
Awesome.
Do you have anything going on right now that is, excuse me, I'm kind of losing my voice. Well, do you have anything that is happening right now that you want to play with the tools and see what's there?
Sure. I got lots of things going on. What kind of things do you want?
Okay. Well, we will look at something, but first I also want, you and I both just talked about the guest house, Rumi's guest house poem. And just in case you guys did not notice, in your journal for Life Coach Training, it's on page 31. And so you have the guest house right there. I actually got to put some of the journal together. And so, of course, I added this one. And so I want to just share really quick, because we have talked about it, Heather. I'm going to read it and share its invitation to you. It says, The Guest House by Rumi. This being human is a guest house. Every morning, a new arrival. A joy, a depression, a meanness. Some momentary awareness comes as an unexpected visitor. Welcome and entertain them all, even if they are a crowd of sorrows who violently sweep your house, empty of its furniture. Still, treat each guest honorably. He may be clearing you out for some new delight. The dark thought, the shame, the malice, meet them at the door laughing and invite them in. Be grateful for whatever comes, because each has been sent as a guide from beyond. Like, I love that poem. I love it because it's a visual for me as well, that when I'm feeling a feeling that's unpleasant or uncomfortable, that I am not that feeling or emotion, that it's a visitor for the day coming here into my vessel, into my body. And so it's like, welcome. I imagine myself with, I always say a cup of tea, even though I drink coffee more than I drink tea. I always imagine myself greeting them, though, with this cup of tea and a smile. It's like, hey, come on in. And I'll literally have that conversation sometimes, where I'm just like, okay, you know what? I am me. At my core, I am peace. I am happiness. I am joy. And so it's like, hey, come on in, fear. How are you doing? And I think it really also leads to that overall concept that we all want to be seen and heard, right? Like, we're all so busy. Again, how often are we truly seeing and hearing each other and being with each other? It's all our emotions want. Just see me, just hear me. Sometimes that is all I get from my emotions is, oh, thank you for finally seeing that I'm here. Like, that's all I wanted. I just wanted you to see me and love me for a minute, and I'm gone. I'm like, okay, how easy is that? You know, other times there's a lot more stuff there. But when I do that, and then I'm in control of saying, all right, you go ahead, have a cup of tea yourself, and be on your way today. I'm ready to go make magic or do whatever, you know. So the guest house, did you want to add anything to that, Heather?
No, that's beautiful. I feel the same way.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So before I go ahead and do some coaching with Heather, does anyone have any questions? 5-star. And I'm sure there will be plenty of time to coach someone else as well. 5-star. Okay, we have a question. Hello, 404. Maybe you're on mute.
Sorry, you're right. I was muted on my phone.
All right. Who's this?
This is Tanya.
Hi, Tanya.
Hi. So I had a question about emotions. In that, so I did the exercise in one of the recordings. They said set your timer and, you know, at various points in the day, ask yourself what you're feeling.
Yes.
And 99% of the time, I cannot come up with the emotion that I'm feeling. Unless something intense is happening, I don't feel like I'm feeling anything.
Okay, good question. And that is your homework as well. Like, this is going to be your homework for the whole month. So this is perfect. There are, and I'm the same way, I'm telling you, besides mad, happy, sad, and, you know, glad, and a couple others, I couldn't come up with anything. So, sorry, my dog, that's my dog barking in the background. So what I did is, I think Byron Katie somewhere has, if you even do Byron Katie list of emotions, or Google list of emotions, Carla McLaren has a great list of emotions. It's like 3 or 4 pages long. If you do that and print it out and keep it handy, then you can start kind of noticing, like, look on there and see if something goes, oh, you know, content, you know, there's ones that are kind of those more indifferent ones when you're just not really, like you say, kind of maybe feeling anything. But that might be helpful. How does that feel?
That sounds great. Yes, I do. I think I need more more range than just the big ones, happy, excited, thrilled, because I'm not always that way. Sometimes I'm just hanging out.
Yeah, I hear you, girl. Yeah, so do that. Do the list of Carla McLaren has a really good set of them because she does them by, like, really happy ones, really medium ones, all the way to, like, really sad. I mean, she even goes into the, like, the suicidal ones. So she has the full range there, and she has lots listed under each of them. So you can really kind of start going, oh, this is what I would name it, you know. So, and another thing I want to share about that is I think what was really fun on one of my calls quite a while ago, somebody said that the more they did this, they thought they were feeling fear, but it was like the good fear instead of the bad fear. And so they started getting more in tune with what they were feeling, and what they used to label fear, they then labeled excitement. But it was, again, she didn't know that until she kept playing with it. And it was like, oh, this is doesn't feel good. It's uncomfortable. But she realized scary fear versus exciting fear felt very different in her body, and she was able to create a relationship with that. So that was kind of cool. Two more doggies. Okay, thank
Sorry.
You. No, I have them too. All right, anything else? No? All right. Okay. All right, let's just play with some coaching, Heather.
Okay.
And it can be as simple as, you know, what's an area of least satisfaction in your life right now? Or is there something that's kind of like, this has been bugging me and I want to take a look at it? Whatever.
Yeah, you know what? The first thing that jumps up is we're not making enough money and it's really stressful, and I'm curious to know what that might look like in my body instead of in my head.
Okay. Oh, this will be good. Okay, so you're not making enough money is the thought that kind of keeps showing up. You know, if we were doing thought work, we'd probably go into like, okay, what's bad with that? You know, what's wrong about that? And then we keep going into more thoughts and whatnot. One of the things that before we jump in, and I won't keep jumping in and doing teachable moments, I don't think.
I don't
think. We'll actually dive into the coaching. But what I want to share, too, is as you guys get in, because you're not doing thought work yet, right? That's coming up next.
We've had our first practicum to class one, where we started the Byron Katie stuff.
Oh, you did. Okay. So
we've only had one class.
Okay, perfect. So somewhere, and I don't know if it was in your cohort or another, you know, the one before you or whatnot, but somebody said, I'm having a hard time with Byron Katie's work being a meditation. And I just want to add to that, again, we can get stuck in, like, the thought work and the what's happening in our mind, but it can be a meditation and become that meditation when we start allowing, you know, that connection of, okay, when you think that, where do you feel it? And you do that in Byron Katie's stuff. And so spending as much time as you want there and just, again, being curious of where do you feel that in your body, what's happening when you feel that in your body, you know, how are you treating others? You know, where do you feel that? You can spend so much time. And so, again, just remember that if you can meet your sessions with that play and that curiosity and not about fixing it or making it feel better. It's about just creating the space for what wants to happen. That's my favorite way to go about coaching. So that's what we'll do here today as we sink in, Heather. So you guys aren't making enough money. Just say a little bit more about that.
We're just in a transitional phase of our lives, and so we're both sort of getting back in the game, so to speak. We had a big move, and, you know, the cards just haven't quite fallen into place yet financially. And, so it's both my husband and I. And, you know, I, on the back burner, I'm thinking, well, maybe I'll hold off and hope that I, you know, get clients with this new coaching gig. And then there's a part of me that thinks, you know, just start waitressing Friday evenings because you need to bring some bucks in, you know. And my husband's sort of in the same boat. He's a teacher, but, you know, we sort of left everything and now he's substitute teaching, but he's not getting calls as much. And so he took a bit of a hit, and so did I. We were sort of professionally set up where we were and took a big risk, and now we're building ourselves back into a different place, and yeah, we're just sort of still in this in-between phase of it's not there yet.
Okay.
Wherever there is.
Right? We'll love it. Okay. So what would be more magical than being able to be at peace during this transitional time? So when you think about you're not making enough money right now, And just even as you went into the story a little bit about what's happening around it, does the not making money part, is that the one that kind of is the stickiest, or was there another maybe thought that came up from sharing more?
No, it's probably, which maybe some others on this call will benefit from this, but no, it's probably, you know, am I going to make it as a coach or not? You know, is this worthy of my time and energy, or is it going to be all about my healing and tools for me, or am I actually going to, you know, use them and find clients and be successful?
Yeah.
It's probably more about that.
Okay.
Which I wasn't planning on talking about. No, it's good. I'm kidding.
That's usually the way it ends up happening,
yeah.
Right?
You caught me.
So fun. And that's why Say More is so much fun, because it helps us dig down a little bit deeper. It's just like the whys, right? It's like, so you're not going to be able to make it as a coach. I always just like to play with you. I feel like you're in the lead of your session. So we want to kind of play with that. When you think that and you wonder if this is about your healing or if it's really about you making a business out of it, where do you feel that in your body?
My heart center just sort of sunk, like, whole. And then I kind of almost felt like I was being punched in the gut. Like, I felt like a caving, like a sinking. All I can think of is, like, whole. Like I'm caved in and, like, now I can't breathe. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's harder to get breath and it's not open. It's contracted and painful and yucky.
Okay. Well, let's see. And you are able to breathe, but it takes your breath away, right? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I just want to check in. Okay. Painful. Yeah. And so your whole body just kind of contracts in, it sounds like.
Yeah. And especially in the like the whole torso area, especially, it's like that part is under attack or something. Like, it's kind of like too. I'm even just like wanting to like put my arms in front of my chest. Like, I just want to protect myself. Like, no, or something.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah. Like I.
Yeah. Like stop like, it. I'm like.
Yeah, I just want to crunch up and put a shield in front of me and say, away.
Yeah, that doesn't sound like it feels too good.
No, it doesn't. No.
No. Okay. And so where is it? I know you said the heart and the soul, and it's kind of this overall hunching and crunching up. If you could sort of pinpoint the center of where that's all happening.
Yeah, it's just below my rib cage.
Okay.
That's like the center of, I think that's the center of it.
And this hunched over, punched in the gut, you know, heart sinking, can't breathe, painful feeling, if you could name it as an emotion, what might it be? And just give it the space. Like, again, don't try to see if you give it the space to allow it to reveal itself to you.
Well, honestly, what jumped up immediately as you said that was I'm failing. And then I sat with it for a second and it was the same.
And when you think I'm failing, what emotion do you feel? I feel
It's there, but I can't name it yet. Just a sec.
Okay.
Sorry. Devastated. I feel devastated.
Yeah.
Yep. That's it. That's it. Thank you for helping me get there.
Yeah, you know, and that's the beauty, too, of being with what's happening is sometimes it needs space. And I, Heather, you're doing a beautiful job. I just want to, with just being present and asking for what you need, don't apologize. It could take 5 minutes to just like, can I just sit with it? Absolutely, you can just sit with it. We'll see what comes up. This stuff is, again, not what we're used to feeling and being with, and so we can give it as much time and space as we need. There's no need to rush. So let's just go ahead and visit with devastated.
Okay.
If you could describe devastated and this feeling of I'm failing and devastation and all these sensations in your body, what are three words to describe? Three descriptors.
You can point me in a different direction if this is wrong, but cloaked was the first one that came up, like just,
yep.
Like I have this black thing around me, I'm cloaked. I'm vomiting. Sorry, it's ugly.
Sorry, no,
alone.
Sorry.
Alone.
Alone. Okay.
Yeah.
Alone. So devastated.
Oh,
cloaked,
horrible.
Vomiting alone. Yeah. Do you think that you would be able to become devastated and just give yourself a break and sit to the side?
Yeah.
And I will go ahead and talk to devastated?
Yeah.
Yeah? Okay. Mm-hmm. And one of the ways sometimes that is helpful as a visual is wherever you're sitting, imagine a chair sitting in front of you, so you're face to face. And again, you can physically do this or just imagine it in your head. Just go ahead and let devastated have that other chair as you move into it, allowing yourself to stay where you're at. And so as you become devastated, cloaked, vomiting, and alone, feeling contracted and caved in, punched in the gut, as you become that, you can say, when you feel like you are have become devastated, you can say, I am devastated, and then I'll start the conversation.
Okay. Okay, I am devastated.
Okay. All right. Devastated, thank you so much for being here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's okay. I'm just here to see you and hear you. How are you here, devastated, to help Heather?
I'm here so she can stop ignoring me.
Okay. Yeah, she never means to ignore you. How do you want to be seen? How can she hold that space for you? Devastated. How can Heather do that for you?
I want her to see that I'm not bad. And I'm here to take care of her.
Devastated, how do you want to help take care of her?
Sorry.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, just a sec.
Okay.
Well, I want to wrap her in my arms and remind her that everything's okay.
And you know, devastated. Coughing is a lot of times a way of connecting really to that releasing as well. And so I thought it was beautiful that you coughed right there, devastation. It was like you're being able to speak for the first time to Heather. How does it feel to be seen and heard?
It feels like lightness. It feels lighter than dark.
Yeah.
It feels more spacious. It feels like I'm not so bad.
And so, you know, initially devastation, cloaked, vomiting, alone, and contracted. I asked you how you were here to help Heather, and you said to stop ignoring me. And just by her listening to you here, you're already feeling a lightness, a more spaciousness, and it's not so bad.
Yeah.
Devastation, are you still feeling cloaked, vomiting, alone, and contracted?
No, I'm not.
What are you feeling now?
I'm feeling seen. I'm feeling likable.
That's okay. That's good. Seen and likable is pretty darn good. Devastation, do you have any other messages that you want to share with Heather?
Yeah, I think so. Just let me really continue being it for a sec.
Yeah. Take all the time and the space that you need. Let it just bubble up.
Yeah. Yes, I want her to know that it only matters what's happening in the moment, and that every time she jumps to the future or the past, she hurts herself. And I want to remind her. That's why I'm here. I want to remind her to get back in the moment, in the hour, in the day, in the dishes, in the laundry, so she can see that everything's okay.
Wow. That's really, she's going to love that. I think she's going to love that. Thank you so much. So much. Is there any last bits of wisdom, devastation that you have for her and how she can do that? Or is that message how you'd like to end it?
No, there's like one last thing.
Okay.
I can be seen and heard and felt when you dance with me. So please do that. And that's it.
Okay. All right. So devastation, thank you so much for being here for Heather and sharing your wisdom and your messages with her.
Thank you for having me.
So go ahead, and if you did the chair changing, you can come back and be Heather.
Whoa, that's weird.
So what I thought was so fascinating was, you know, the message from devastation was to stop ignoring and see that I'm not bad. And then it gave you all that other stuff to show you how it was not bad. And
yeah,
that you can dance with it. What do you want to share from hearing those messages? Or how do you feel? How do you feel first?
I kind of forget the messages. Well, I kind of remember them, but I kind of forget. Well, it's interesting to speak as devastation. Like that was, you know, once or twice I it was almost like I had to remind myself to give myself permission to actually speak as devastation, because that's new for me. That's a little different. So it was like, no, it's okay. Just, you know, what you're hearing is okay. You can, you know, there's nothing, you know, like I was like, oh, am I doing this right? Is this wrong?
Right.
You know, like, am I saying the right things? But it was fun to just stay with it. And, it's just fascinating, really.
Yeah.
It's mind-blowing.
And I thank you for allowing yourself to be in that space. And I encourage all of you to not only, you know, practice and play when it feels right, you know, with those people that you feel are a safe place and space, but to also be the one on the receiving end. You know, I used to do coach the coach practicum one, and I always say, you know, yeah, your assignment is to go out and practice, but I highly encourage you to be on the receiving end, because you get to experience what it's like for the client. And when you can have that experience of how powerful it is, it just, you know, expands your belief in the tools, because you've experienced it firsthand. And it's not going to go that way for all your clients, but you know, and you have the evidence of how that feels. And so I did write it down. That I was like trying to capture everything that devastation was sharing, and that it just felt seen and heard, and it feels more light and more spacious. And from that place, it was able to share with you the message that it wants you to know that it only matters what's happening in the moment. And when you jump to the past and the future, you only hurt yourself. And then, you know, it went into, I couldn't write that fast. It went into, you know, being in the day and the mundane. And those are my three favorite words about living in the moment, is being with the magic, the messy, and the mundane. It's like,
ooh, that's good.
About really being present to all of it. You know, that's when we're really living in that moment. And you're so, I mean, devastation had this gorgeous message for you. And then also, like, I can be seen, felt, and heard when you sing and dance with me. Can you imagine if we sat and just took the time, you know, and we don't always have that physical amount of time, but you'll start noticing if you start playing with this, you do have the time to get to receive these messages, and they become, you know, so, again, like you build that relationship with your inner wisdom, and then you are able to connect with the emotions and the sensations and all that, and you just start getting them so much faster and faster and faster. So,
yeah. And what's so cool is I've been debating about this dance class. I did a tester, and it was like the coolest class in the world. You could feel your emotions. It was dark enough. You could dance however you wanted, so you could actually move things through your body. And I left, and I was like, that was so awesome. And then I came home, and I was like, my husband was like, so you're going to go again? I was like, I don't know, so because I'm not in the habit of going. But now after this, I'm just going to sign up for the next session, right? Like, I'm not even going to question it, because I was back in my head. Like,
right.
But, so that's pretty cool that specifically the dance class came up. That was really
I love that. And it's so true, right? Like, you came home and you had this great time, and then we get in our head, or we let our thoughts start taking over, and it's like, yeah, maybe, you know, da, 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 da. I got this and I got that. And
yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah. Thank you, Jen. That was awesome.
You're welcome. Thank you. I really thought that maybe we'd have time for more coaching, but we don't. So I apologize for that. But Heather, thank you for letting us play. And thank you for feeling comfortable and safe enough, or uncomfortable and still safe enough, to let the tears shed. I always love it when people, you may not like, I always love it when people cry because they're, you know, able to feel what they're feeling, and there's so much even behind the tears, you know, like what's going on behind the tears. And so, and it's a beautiful release. And even the coughing, I love it when people yawn or cough or anything, because they're really in their bodies and they're allowing stuff to move through them. So thank you for that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so do we have, I'm going to go ahead and mute you again, Heather.
Yep.
So do we have any other questions before I go into the homework? And if you do, or anything you even want to just share with what happened with the coaching, 5-star. And, oh, such a quiet group today. That's so great. I hope you're just sitting back and really receiving and being kind to yourself and being where you're at and knowing that all of this is just bite size, and some of you may already be doing it, and that's great too. Oh, I have one question here, and then I'll go into the homework. David, hi. You might be on mute.
Sorry. Hi.
That's all right.
Okay.
We're all like doubly muted, right?
I know, exactly. But no, I just wanted to say thanks to you, Jen, and thanks to Heather for opening up that for the example for the rest of us, because I think we all kind of struggle a little bit with checking in with the body, but that was a great example of how it can be done. And for me personally, it really wasn't a question. It's just more about when I get angry or something like that, I will remove myself from the situation, similar to what Heather was speaking about, and go to a quiet place, is what I like to call it, wherever that may be, and spend about 5-10 minutes time of a more or less like a deep cleansing, breathing, and kind of self-meditation, if you will, before I can check into myself as to what my next step's going to be. And by then, everything is usually dissipated for me, and I can go back into the situation with a clearer mind and a clearer head as to how I want to progress.
Beautiful, beautiful. Which you brought up something too, that I breath is amazing. I mean, just simply doing some of the, you know, whether it's breath work or just deep breaths, is so huge. So huge.
It's important.
Yeah.
Very important, because I meditate not as much as I used to, so I'm very used to being able to cleanse myself with breathing, deep breathing.
Mm-hmm.
I'm able to reconnect with myself. But I also know it's not always that easy, especially if you're angry or in a situation where you can't really, you know, separate the difference between body, mind, what's spitting out of your mouth and everything. Sometimes it just gets to a level where it's too much. Somebody needs to remove themselves, because it's not going anywhere.
Exactly.
Anyway, that's just what I wanted to share.
Thank you for sharing. I so appreciate it. Thanks, David.
You're very.
Oops, sorry. I'm like horrible with cutting people off with technology. I heard you're very welcome. All right, another question. 250, hello.
Hi, this is Jody.
Hi, Jody.
Hi. First of all, I really wanted to say thank you to Heather, because I could feel that was quite vulnerable and really brave. And, you know, you're right, that touches lots of us, I'm sure. It did for me. So I really wanted to thank her for that. And then I just wanted to share something my therapist, who is an expressive therapist, so we do a lot of expressive types of therapy, a little exercise she gave me that's been so helpful. And just to add in to what you're already sharing with us, where you feel the feeling, you name it, you source where it is in your body, and then you would do this just before you would start asking it to speak. You just get a blank piece of paper and some pencil crayons, and you just start coloring. Whatever colors you're drawn to, whatever shapes come, it's not necessarily drawing an image. It's really drawing the sensations and the feelings in your body. And it's kind of one of those things, you have to try it to see how things actually start moving in your body when you do it.
Yes.
And you can get quite a release that way. And I just added a little something when I'm finished that, and I feel the release and the calm and the peace, or what, you know, whatever comes after, then I color that. I color the calm, or, and
yes.
I just, yeah. Found that.
Oh, I love that. You know, and it's the one bummer thing, like, we could teach so many more classes on mind body throughout the course, but they're really good about weaving it in through all the other classes. Because in Abigail's class that I take, we do a coloring thing like that too, Jody, in her mind body coach training. We did one that sometimes I use with clients, and I'm so glad that you brought it up, because I haven't used it lately, and so I'm going to play with that again. So thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. I'm going to go over your homework, but one other thing that I wanted to do to kind of wrap up that we didn't, Heather, because I kind of went into how you were feeling and the messages you got, but I think it was so beautiful that what was really bothering you was that your failing came up with devastation, and am I going to make it as a coach? And so what came up with that was stop thinking about the past, stop going into the future, and come back to the present moment. It's like you're going to be led, dance with what's coming up, sing and dance, right? See it all, feel it all, hear it all, and you're going to be led to what's next. And it brings you back to who you are in the present. So we didn't kind of wrap it around to that first thing, so I just wanted to do that. So once again, see how good I am at this, you guys? It's 11:27, and I'm just now getting to your homework. So I'm just going to share this real quick. Again, some of you obviously have really read all the information in the tab in the binder, but it says it's an optional exercise. It's always optional, but please, please, please just know that I'm going to be around. I'm going to be answering questions on the forum. I will be there for your homework. And what we want you to do for a month is to indeed have like a watcher, a timer, and a journal. And this is what I do. I would set my alarm, and again, remember, I'm doing this right along with you guys this go around. And so I have several alarms that I set on my timer. In fact, they're all still there, so I just have to activate them. And they'll just say check in, you shine, smile, it lights up the world, like whatever you want to do. Because my kids always used to go, Mom, you shine, because my alarm would be going off and we'd laugh and giggle. But it was my cue to stop and turn in and do some self-observation. So set your alarm. If you don't need to set your alarm and you want to do it in the morning, do it at night, do it at lunchtime with a meal, do it at your meal times, whatever. Pick whatever feels good to you. Don't let this feel overwhelming. That's my big invitation to you guys. Don't let it feel overwhelming and like another thing on your to-do list. Instead, let it be an invitation to get intimate with your inner wisdom and your body. Like, okay, for the next month, I'm dating my body, and all the visitors that come along with it, and what, you know, the emotions, the sensations, the aches, the pains, the whatever, I'm going to build this intimate relationship. And what you will do when the timer goes off is you will start with three basic questions. You will take three breaths and ground. Just let your feet sink into the earth. Take those nice three deep breaths, and you'll ask, what is my mind doing right now? Is it racing? Is it analyzing? Is it worrying? Is it fretting? Then you'll ask, what emotion am I feeling right now? And like I mentioned, if you have a hard time naming feelings, you can stick with the basics. You can print a list off. So is it sad, angry, happy, mad, afraid? And then notice what body sensations you're feeling in your body and where. So, you know, tightness in my chest, heat in my throat, whatever it is, just get as specific as you can. And then every few days or so, jot down your insights, any observations, or do it at the end of the week. Do it every night when you sit down if you have a journaling practice. Now, here's the thing that I'm going to say to you. If it feels like too much, it really isn't. Just play with it and be open to it. But even if you set that timer and all you're doing is taking 3 breaths and grounding for all of them but one, and then one of the times the timer goes off, you're asking all the questions, do that. Anything is better than nothing. Just be your own experiment. Be so curious as to what's going to look, how your relationship with your body and your connection to your body is going to look a month from now. The other thing we want you to do is do a daily path of stillness or climb back into your body. And again, once a week or whenever you're writing down your observations from checking in with those 3 questions, pausing, you can do your reflection on climbing back into your body, your path of stillness. The paths of stillness, again, are listed in Find Your Way in a Wild New World. The climb back into your body is part of your resources for this. The climb back into your body, you guys, I was doing that. I just have to share quickly. I was doing that, and I noticed I'd be sitting there with my family in the evening watching TV, and I was holding tension in all sorts of places in my body. Here I thought I was totally relaxed, and I wasn't. So if you want, like, the most powerful results, I'm telling you, if you do a climb back into your body, and get used to that. You can even record yourself guiding you through it and listen to it. It's so, so powerful. Now, I'm actually 3 weeks from now, I'm going to create a new thread, and it's going to ask for your homework, and it's going to be, you know, that no more than 100-word recap about your experience. It could be a poem. It could be a quote. It could be, you know, a certain experience. It could be an overall summary. Whatever you want to share with me, I would love to hear what you experienced. But again, that will be a separate thread. I'll start it like 3 weeks from now, and then I'll say, hey, you know, in the next week or so, post your responses to playing with this for the month. And I was going to say one other thing about that, and I can't remember what it was. But, you know, even if at 3 weeks you're like, oh, crap, I did it for the first week or two, and here she's posting that reminder, be so gentle and kind to yourself. It's like, it's okay. Life is busy. It's the holidays, whatever. Jump back into it. Do it for another week and then post whatever happened. Just be kind. Can you kind of get my gist of my nature of coaching? As I poop it into you, be kind to yourself. So that's how we make progress. So I think that's about it. I loved spending my morning with you. Thank you. Thank you, thank you for being here and holding beautiful space for Heather as she got to meet Devastation, and what a gift for all of us. And then any more questions, I'm going to go ahead and just ask that one last time before I go ahead and hang up. Any last questions? All right. And again, I'll be on the forum, on our forum thread, so feel free to post anything that comes up there along the way. Okay, big love to you guys. Mwah. Thank you so much for spending this time with me and each other, and I will see you on the forum. Talk to you later. Bye.